Sport on RTE Radio 1.
What a weekend in sport. Here's Darren.
Audrey, it certainly was a bumper weekend. Lots of highs and some lows too. One in particular, which we're going to get into in a moment. But let's start with the team on the up. The Dublin Hurlers can start planning for a Leinster final against Kilkenny. This comes after beating Galway and Salt Hill. Galway had David Burke sent off after just 16 minutes. And that did have a big role to play in that result. Kilkenny beat Wexford. Wexford qualify for the All-Ireland Series in third place. Antrim got the better of Carlow to maintain their status in the Leinster Championship for next season. In Munster, Limerick and Clare qualified for the provincial final. Limerick overcame Waterford. Clare beat Tipperary, and those results mean that Cork get the third place and Waterford and Tipperary are finished for the season. Neil McManus joins us as normal here on a Monday morning on Morning Ireland. Neil, I should call you Mystic Meg this morning. You were predicting Dublin last week and I doubted you. How could I have done that?
Yeah, they were very impressive in their last two outings before this weekend against Antrim and against Kilkenny in Parnell Park. And I just thought that from what I had seen of Galway in Corrigan Park against Antrim, that Dublin were the stronger outfit. And, you know, they proved it yesterday, and they will be licking their lips at an upcoming Leinster final and getting the chance to right the wrongs of 2 weeks ago against Kilkenny as well.
How do you reflect on the game itself and that big sending off? Do you think that swung it in Dublin's favour?
It had a huge bearing in the game. You know, Henry Shefflin himself in the post-match comments said, we're an ageing team, or we're an older team, and we needed legs all around the pitch. And that's one thing that Dublin have in abundance is athleticism. They love to carry the ball through the lines. You know, we've seen Conor Burke, Donald Burke, Chris Crummy get the ball and drive at the heart of the Galway defence time and again yesterday. And in fact, if Dublin had have taken more of their chances, been a little bit more efficient, they could have been home and hosed a little bit earlier, Darren.
Do you think Henry Shefflin will stay with Galway now? Because he did say to reporters after the game yesterday he was going to take some time to consider his position. What do you think?
It's a tough one for Henry. I think that Galway would have had, you know, aspirations to be going much deeper into the championship than they have done. It's a really early exit, one of their earliest exits in a long, long time. So it's definitely a period of reflection needed, not just for Henry, but for Galway too, to see, you know, where are they going. There are a number of players on the team, not alone the panel, who have given exceptional service to Galway. You know, they are All-Ireland winners, and look, we might have seen the end of the road for one or two of them, unfortunately, so that may play into Henry's decision also.
Before we let you go, Neil, you were at Corrigan Park for Antrim's win against Carlow yesterday. I was actually commentating on this game myself yesterday for the Sunday Game Late programme. Carlo, I thought, did really well. The sending off was you know, a key part of that game also. But Carlo now out of the Leinster Championship. How do you feel, as someone that's played, been in those shoes of up and down, relegation, promotion to the Leinster Championship, how do you feel the Carlo hurlers, they're treated by going down now?
I really, really feel for the Carlo senior hurling team this morning, because, you know, that result yesterday means they're back into the Joe McDonagh. They'll have to work so hard next year to try and, you know, get to a Joe McDonagh final. It's a really competitive competition. To just have a shot at getting back into the, you know, the Leinster Championship, it's a really unfair system. There's no relegation in Munster, and there's not a word about that, Darren. Yet it's okay for the likes of Antrim or Carlow to yo-yo up and down.
And what would you like to see happen, Neil?
I think we should retain them for a minimum of two seasons. If you come up, you get to stay for a minimum of two seasons. That's how you actually develop an emerging county. You expose them to hurling at the highest level. And the one thing you can be sure of, Darren, is a couple of those Carlo players faced into the Joe McDonagh next year will choose retirement. Some of them will choose travelling rather than staying and trying to fight back up, which would have happened in any county after relegation. So it does nothing for the promotion of the game, and it's an issue that the GA have got to sort out.
Neil McManus, thanks for joining us. The hurling has given us so much joy, I think, over the last few weeks and months. But unfortunately for Leinster Rugby, another disappointing loss in the final of the Investec Champions Cup. They lost in extra time to Toulouse. Third final defeat in a row for Leinster. Bernard Jackman joins me now. Bernard, former Leinster player himself. Was that one a difficult one to stomach, Bernard?
Yeah, the last three have been, to be honest. Leinster have obviously lost three finals in a row, and all of them were incredibly tight. And I think they'll be scratching their heads wondering what they need to do to get over the line, because in all three games they've played well in parts, but just this was a phenomenal performance by Toulouse, I think. And it was a game that both defences were very much on top. No try scored when it was 15-15, and that was for 89 minutes of the game. And Leinster will certainly rue some of their decision making and some of their accuracy in attack, because they actually dominated possession and territory, but just couldn't get scores, enough scores to pull away.
Is there any one thing when they look back on that they'll really regret, they wish they had done at the time?
Look, I know hindsight's 20/20 vision, but there's no doubt that the strategy not to take points was a key part of not getting the win. I mean, they had a lot of kickable penalties, opportunities, and they went to the corner and just didn't convert it into scores. And Toulouse, it's actually really interesting, because Toulouse are a team who've been scoring 7 tries on average per European Cup game this year, and they went into the game with a strategy of anything in kicking range to have a go at it. And Leinster's attack hasn't been as fluid, but they were hell bent on going to the corner, and unfortunately they couldn't get a reward from it in terms of not just getting another penalty, but obviously scoring a try. And Toulouse, every time they survived, you felt they got a lift. But there was one man on the pitch, Antoine Dupont, who was absolutely head and shoulders above everybody else, and he just refused to lose, and he basically carried his team over the line. I think anyone who was there on Saturday to see him live, they witnessed for me what's the greatest rugby player in the world at the moment.
Bernard Jackman, thanks for joining us here on the show this morning. In other headlines this morning, the Irish men's hockey team beat Belgium again in the Pro League in Antwerp, 4-1 win there. Fintan McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan claimed a bronze medal in the lightweight men's doubles at the World Cup event in Lucerne. Also bronze for Fiona Murta and Afri Kyo in the final of the women's pair. Ellen Walsh, who already had a place at the Olympics in the 200 individual medley, has also secured a place in the 400 in Paris this summer. Aidan Walsh is through to the last 32 at the final Olympic qualifier in Bangkok. He'll fight for a place in the last 16 tomorrow. Southampton beat Leeds 1-0 in the Championship playoff final. Fallen Angel won the 1,000 guineas at the Curragh, and Dom Jackson claimed the Ross Tálchan for 2024.